Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Maria Finch, and I am thrilled to have Janine Bolin here with me today. Janine, welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting me. That's half the fun when you get these invitations. You're like, yeah, I'd love to be on your show. It sounds fabulous.
Yeah, wonderful. All right. So to start with, tell us a bit about you.
Okay. I am one of those people that was struck by lightning when I was very young. And when that happened, I had no idea anything that occurred with that. It wasn't until 40, that's like 40 years later, that I was found by Native Americans. And I had all these metaphysical gifts that were helpful to me and everything, but I really didn't start my shamanism full bore until 2010, because I had to get into a safe space where I could actually start manifesting those gifts. So even though I had them throughout my entire childhood and all that, I did not feel safe, or I don't think my higher self, or however your collective, everybody has different terms for that, but I didn't feel that I was in a safe place where I could really start manifesting that until it was in 2010 that actually started occurring. And when it did, it came in full-fledged. It was quite a transformative experience. My Hindu guru told me that I had received enlightenment from the Buddhist and Hindu tradition.
Wow.
And so at that point, you know, you kind of go, okay, well, now that I know how the matrix works, you kind of like Neo from the Matrix, right? You know, now that I know how this game is played, now that I know how this thing works, what am I supposed to do about it? And then you start seeking out, what is it that you're supposed to do about it? What are you here on the planet to do? And I wasn't seeking my life purpose. That I want to be very clear. That was not what I was doing. What I was doing was moving moment by moment in the flow, getting the psychic hits, moving and learning how to be super clear mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically as I was being drawn moment to moment as to what was happening. This was huge, because I was a highly trained analytical biochemist, and I used to make drugs for a living, and legal ones. I always like to say, no breaking bad is going on in the basement, so don't look. Uh-huh. And so anyway, it took some time, but once I figured things out, and that took me, I'd say it took me another 5 years to kind of figure that out. Once I figured it out, I started writing books. And once I started writing books, a community was formed around me. I started being invited to speak in various areas. And then the Native American communities shuffled me from one community to another. And eventually I did find a group that was like, yeah, we want you to be helping us during our sacred ceremonies. And so, so I worked with over 16 different Native American nations. Uh-huh. And each one has its own nation within it. And so you have these huge confederacies, and then you have the nations, and then you have local areas. And so it's such a delight to be received and invited into these ceremonies. But at the same time, I always share with people, yes, I'm a shaman. Yes, I'm a global wheel walker. I have done wheel walking ceremonies with Shaolin priests, to Buddhists, to Hindus. And over again, people are like, so what is your tradition? And I always like to say, whatever humankind needs in the moment. So that's the Reader's Digest condensed version of my shamanism.
All right. That is fascinating. So first, I just want to clarify, when you say you were struck by lightning, you mean that literally, right?
Yes, I was physically struck by lightning. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so as a child, what were the things that you noticed about yourself that gave you the knowledge that you had some sort of connection here, or however you would choose to, whatever word you would choose to use to describe that?
I think it was the fact that I could see dead people. I was highly clairvoyant. I had the ability to see the dead. I didn't understand why people were crying when the dead person was standing right there smiling at everybody. And I was just kind of, and that's where my mother was trying to protect me at that time, because we were living in Japan, and we were, this was back in 1969 to 1973-ish. And so she was very cautious to let me fully express myself. When you're in a different country, you are a part of the armed forces network. You know, there was a lot going on in my poor mom's head during all that. So anytime I would be like, but why, like, you know, I'd go to say something, I would feel her claw like hand come down and just gently pat me. But if I tried to ignore her, because, you know, I can be stubborn that way, if I tried to ignore her, she had this Vulcan grip that, like, we used to tease her, she had the Vulcan mind grip, but it was more like, you will not say anything and embarrass your father and I. Right? It was that grip of control. Yeah. But you had to have that at that time. You know, that was a very challenging time. The world has seen so many different types of challenges, but that was a challenging time for Japanese and American relations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. So in 2010, what brought you to the shift?
That is when I think I gave myself permission to fully express all that I am. They talk about it in scripture after scripture of enlightenment is different for every mystic. It looks different for every mystic. It manifests differently for every mystic. But every mystic that becomes awakened or enlightened, as they'd like to say in Hinduism and Buddhism, they know that they know that they know. And people can go ahead and say whatever they want to say. And I'm not saying it doesn't hurt when people call me a liar or you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not saying I'm immune to that. But at the same time, you kind of are in the world, but not literally of it. And a lot of my Christianity, I finally understood what these Christian mystics had been trying to describe when I became awake. But as far as the day-to-day, it was still like my Buddhists share, it's still chop wood, carry water. And what do you do after you're enlightened? Well, you chop wood and you carry water. The actual behaviors don't really change so much, but your entire world has been turned upside down and you now see it for what it is. And that's kind of one of the fun things about this TV series, Stranger Things, is they have the upside down world and the right side world. And I just giggle every time. I'm like, yeah, because you literally, your world is turned upside down when you become awake, when you know who you are for realsies.
Yeah. So was there a specific event that brought you there? Like, can you think of the day that that happened, or was it a process?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I have crystal clear memory of when it happened. And that's really what Christian mystics call the grace of God, or grace descends, or there's all kinds of metaphors. The Judaic mindset has when the hand of God touches you, and there's all kinds of different metaphors for this experience. And I am one of thousands on the planet now that have had it. So, you know, it's not like I'm the only one floating around. There's a lot of us that have. But the thing is, you know exactly when it happened. You know exactly when a part of you dies. Like all the things that you thought you were, you realize you were wrong. And you shed that skin. So they use a lot of the snake metaphors of you shed the skin, you drop off it. It goes away and then you are reborn. So I realized, oh, this is the second, what Christians call the second coming of Christ. That's it. It's that experience of when you drop your understanding of who you think you are as a mortal and you truly embrace all that knowingness of your immortality.
And so at that time, you were working as a biochemist?
No, by that time, there had been quite a transition, you might say, in my life. I didn't think I could have children. So 10 years previous to this, I had become pregnant with our first child after 10 years of marriage. This came as a shock. Let me tell you, I wasn't expecting to have kids. I didn't think I could have them. And then the dam broke because I had three more after that. I had four kids by this time. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. And I was homeschooling them. I had what we set up as a mom school where I was the math and science mom. Uh-huh. And we had a lot of other moms that were homeschooling at the time. And it was in Colorado that I was doing all this. And we had a special school that we had kind of built out. It was all volunteer. It was nothing formal, but it was just a bunch of homeschooling moms. And we had this mom school, and that's what I was busy doing. And as I was sitting in my living room, I was reading A Course in Miracles, and I had already read the whole book, but I was going back through some of my favorite parts. And that's when the event happened. That's when the walls of reality crashed down and I saw life as it truly is.
Wow. What an incredible I mean, I, yeah, incredible experience for all of our listeners. Yeah, let's hear more about this. So let's go into self-healing techniques for people who are not yet enlightened. And actually, that's another question is, as someone who is enlightened, do you still self-heal?
Yes, I've healed myself of 3 so-called terminal conditions.
Wow.
I have had to face death many, many times. And what has occurred is we are now best friends. And so when death shows up, I always go, oh, hello. No, I'm not ready yet. And okay, things happen. So self-healing is possible for every human being on the planet. But it comes with your own belief structure. If you believe you are unhealable, you will manifest that. The thing is when Christ was running around the world saying, do you not know that heaven is on earth? Men are blind but cannot see. And forgive me, this is one of those horrible things of, I'm not one of those people that can quote chapter and verse. I was never very good at it. I got in trouble a lot. I was raised Catholic. I couldn't remember chapter and verse the way other people do. The thing is I've read so much sacred literature and sacred scripture from so many different religions that I get them kind of mashed up. So for those of you out there that are listening that are better at that than I am, if you would put it in the show notes below what Maria has and put it in the comments, I would love you. Thank you so much for your scholarship. So when people who say, well, you know, I'm not enlightened, but at least I know blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, thank you. Would you please put it down in the comments? Because I'm like, I don't remember it that way. My brain really got mushed during the enlightening experience and the fact that I got struck by lightning. So there are things that I know I'm very good at, and there are things that I am not good at. So for those of you that are very good at that format of scholarship, thank you. Okay, so moving on. So self-healing techniques. So Christ talks a lot about that. The thing is, why was Christ so good at healing? You know, and this is my own half-baked theory. You do not have to accept this. You do not have to take this as any kind of truth for your reality. But Christ knew we were all gods walking around in these fleshly cages. And movies like Avatar and others kind of have really defined that for us, really given us a visual imagery of that. But Christ didn't have that. Christ was running around as a Jewish rabbi trying to teach other Jewish people who their neighbor was, who they needed to be nice to, like other Jewish people at the time, right? So the guy had his work cut out for him. And so when people would come to him and be instantly healed, why was that? Because he did not see them as identified with their disease. You'll hear people say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I have fill in the blank, whatever condition.
Mm-hmm.
The more you self-label, the more you box in the divine flow of energy that comes into you that allows you to self-heal. But if you start saying things like this, I know my body can heal itself. I know my body knows exactly what it needs right now. And I make good decisions. And when I sit there and I think about it, I know my body is going to tell me at any moment in time when it needs a specific something. And I am going to do that specific something so that I can have a healthy mind, body, emotion, and spirituality. And it's amazing when you start saying that stuff every day, you start to see your divine power come full force. And what happens is people get scared and then they shut it down.
Yeah. So I have a whole bunch of things coming to me as I'm listening to you.
Because you're a little bit psychic, my friend.
Yeah. So one of the things that comes to me is, I look at life as I am a spiritual being having an earthly experience. And I get a lot of, I really appreciate that because it enables me to look at everything from a very different perspective. And to me, it's very empowering. What can you relate to that? What would you add on to that for our audience? How do people find this for themselves?
Well, I found it through physics, funny enough. I'm an analytical biochemist, okay? And I had to have a lot of physics. And when you start working at the level we did, which was the molecules that make up DNA. So we were even below DNA. We were biochemistry is the study of cells at the molecular level. So mm-hmm. let that be a brain twister for you, but there are thousands upon thousands of scientists. That's their specialty, okay? Yeah. Yep. Studying of the cell at the molecular level. So we're not even at the level of organelles. We are down below that.
Right.
When you get that small, you start to find out that currently, according to the mathematics that we have, thank you, Ed Witten and M theory, we have 11 dimensions that our subatomic structures can mold itself in. So let's take a real quick wig before, don't wig out on me and stay with me. What are dimensions? People get this confused all the time. And so this is where the scientist is going to come out for just a minute. What is a dimension? It is the ability of you to move. It's the amount of pieces of information you need so that you can move to another location. So if you were to look at the top of a pen, like an ink pen or something like that, mm-hmm. and we were all here, like the entire world, the entire universe is right here, zero mm-hmm. dimensions. You don't need any additional information to meet your buddy Maria here. Maria is here, and so am I, so zero dimensions. We don't need any additional space, which is why living in the moment is considered a singularity. Because if you're living in the moment, you're connected. So this is where physics and science is so fascinating. And to me, this is my all-time ultimate passion. I love talking about science and spirituality together, because as a physicist and all that mathematical structure running around in the brain that I have combines with the heart chakra of, we're all gods and creating our own reality. So it's exciting for me. I'm like, this is the best stuff ever. To me, it's the best adventure you can possibly have. It's exciting to be alive right now. So that's zero space. So how much pieces of information do you need to meet somebody on the line? Well, you need one. So how many pieces of dimension do you need if you want to meet somebody on a piece of paper, if we assume it has no thickness? You need two. How many pieces of information do I need to meet Maria in a skyscraper? Three, because I have to have longitude, latitude, and I have to have vertical. Like, what floor is she on vertically?
Okay.
Four dimensions, five dimensions. Do you see where we're going with this? How many pieces of information do I need to meet you where you are?
Okay.
So I love it in the metaphysical community, because they start talking about dimensions as if my guru is better than your guru kind of stuff. That was a big thing in the 60s, whose guru was more advanced.
Right.
Ridiculous. We look at that now and we say, that's ridiculous. But what I'm finding now is, what dimensional being is it that you're channeling right now? Well, my person is a 12th dimensional being. I'm like, ooh, he's small. And they go, what? No, he's 12th dimension. I'm like, yeah, he's below subatomic. Yeah. How do you find him? And that's the way I play with some of the people whose egos might be a little too big, and they need to understand what they're actually channeling, what is actually happening. So you were talking about, so how can people self-heal and that kind of thing? But I wanted to talk about the dimensionality, because depending upon how big or how small you see a problem, so it is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, my brain is going like, okay, so bringing this back to Mind Cluck, your mind is telling you one thing and you start to go bonkers on that. So you start to spiral on that. And what I'm hearing you say is, when you can bring that down to one thing, like if you're facing some kind of challenge, you simplify it to its kernel so that you're solving the one thing as opposed to solving the giant thing.
Well, you don't need to solve Jack. I just want, number one, we did not come to this planet to solve problems. Do you know why we have problems? Because we enjoy the adventure of solving them.
Yeah, that's what I...
Right?
It gives us something to do.
Right? It gives us something to do and play around. And if we create enough problems, then it just gets totally overwhelming. And you've got an empath sitting there going, I don't even know what to do right now. I'm so, you know, they're so out of their brain.
Yeah.
So let's talk about momentum. Back to physics. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm also a scientist. So, and I studied biochemistry as an undergrad. So I totally relate.
That's fabulous. Okay. So let's talk about momentum. Sometimes you are in such a negative spiral, you can't pull yourself out. Right. And one of my favorite people that talk about this is Esther Hicks. And she talks about, that's okay. you know, the momentum is so strong, you've jumped out of the airplane, you don't know how to open your chute, it will be over in 4 seconds. Because it's true. You're going to have to hit rock bottom because you've got so much momentum going. And so what you want to do is when you find yourself is try to catch it early on. Right. It doesn't always happen. But say you are in a mental spiral and you are in that negative train of thought that is not doing anybody any favors. And what do you do in that moment? Well, you know it very well. You breathe. Why do we go to breathing? I there was periods of my life I thought, if one more person tells me to calm down and breathe, I am going to lash out and slap their face, right? You know, even I never would, but you're in that mode. You're just so, like, I would just be so pissed off. And and people wonder why I go and do weight training. I'm saving lives. I'm saving lives by exercising and training, doing weight training. But what do you do beforehand? So what it is just be very aware of what you're thinking. What are the thoughts you're having? Are you creating a story that doesn't exist? I mean, after all that person did was text you and say, how are you doing? And that can send some people into a negative story like, well, why are they asking me, how am I doing? What, did I not look good the last time they saw me? What was their problem? Why? They go into this self-talk that is horrific, right? Yeah. I would not want to reside in their head. So is your head a beautiful place to reside? If it isn't, you're creating hell on earth. Let's turn that around and create a heaven on earth in your head.
I love that. I love that. This is what I spend a lot of time doing. So I totally understand that. And
yes,
I can
you do.
Yeah, and I can say that for our audience, with practice, it gets easier and easier and easier. So do you still get moments of mind cluck where you have to catch yourself and be like, whoa, wait a minute? Or does that just not happen to you?
Of course it does. I'm a human being.
Yeah, no, that's
what... space-time. Okay, so like I tell people, I know I am highly aware of my fourth and fifth dimensional understandings and mindset. I have splinters of memory from those experiences. But because my consciousness is really focused in this three-dimensional space-time at this moment, hey, this is the e-ticket ride. This is the ride of the universe, is to be on planet Earth at this time. I know people say, oh my gosh, it's the worst of times. I'm like, no, this is the best of times because you're in it right now. Your soul said, this is the time I want to be at. So you might want to sit and think a minute about why your soul would say, yeah, this is the ride we want to ride and we want to ride it now. And in case you don't remember, you actually did volunteer and you were picked and you felt grateful and you were so happy you got to be incarnate at this time and that you're running around with a body. So kind of figure that noodle out before you start accusing the world of being crazy. Yeah. So those are some of the fun things that you guys can do to have some fun with that momentum.
So when mind cluck strikes you, what do you do?
I hate it, but I breathe.
So do you literally say like, oh, so number one, how do you recognize when you have mind cluck?
I start feeling bad.
Mm-hmm. And feeling bad how? Like feeling bad physically, emotionally, whatever.
Okay. Well, I don't separate it up like that. I'm either doing great, having a great time. I'm here with Maria. I am on Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. I'm having the time of my life. I'm talking to people who I know are going to be served well. So I am at my height. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm engaged. Uh-huh. When I am not those things, I have disconnected from my authenticity. Uh-huh. I have disconnected from source when I start to feel negative emotions. Like I get to feeling a little down, like I'll feel it like a weight hit me and I'll go, oh, and I'm like, oh, maybe I just need to rest or blah, blah, blah. I do a positive story. If I'm feeling a little bit down, oh, maybe I'm resetting. Man, I don't make a big thing out of it. Oh my God. Cause I know I am so good that I could make it into a 12 dimensional problem if I wanted to.
I could really
expand this to be this huge mountain when it's not even a speed bump. Okay. So that's one of my things that's how I acknowledge and recognize that.
Okay. And then once you've acknowledged and recognized it, so you breathe, what else do you do? Or is breathing enough?
Well, a lot of times just knowing that you're there is enough. Mm-hmm. But then I've been doing this for over 25 years. So I'm kind of what some people call me a master. I feel like a kid. I feel like I learn every day, right? But some people call me a master yogi. It depends on your perspective. But I will take a deep breath. And I learned for me, taking a deep breath the way everybody taught me doesn't work. I have to do it differently. So for those of you who try breathing techniques, you're like, you know what? This is the stupidest thing ever. It doesn't work for me. I go, do you have a dolphin in your world? Are you dolphin energy? Do you have a dolphin totem? That kind of thing, because that's my totem. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those that was gifted to me when I was very young by a voodoo priestess in the Bahamas when I was quite young.
Oh, cool.
And I didn't understand what that meant. Guess what? Dolphins, when they hit the air, what do? They exhale. They go, and then they go. And I learned I had to breathe like a dolphin.
Oh, wow.
That's why it didn't work for me. So everybody else goes, everybody take a deep breath in and breathe out. And I go, oh my God, you are so not my person, right? I need a teacher that understands dolphin energy. And there are a lot of you out there. There's a lot of crystal children out there who have what we call dolphin energy. They want to play. They want to have fun. They see life as the grand adventure. And everybody keeps trying to make them serious. And that is not their job. They only get serious if there's a threat physically. Uh-huh. Otherwise, they're running around in the bubbles of the sea, having a great time playing on the foam.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So for those of you, try breathing out. And then go... And you'll go, oh my God, I feel so much better.
Wow.
There you go. That takes 25 years off your learning curve right there.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That is super powerful. What else do you do?
So that usually does it for me. But when I had a friend that I felt had betrayed me after 50 years, that took me a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Most people, it will take months. But when I have that where I cannot get out of my own head, I had a script of betrayal running that was not serving me. But it took me weeks to get over that. I'd say 2 weeks of active engagement and then a week of therapy, like several days over a couple of weeks. And then help from my other shamanistic friends. So that's when I reached out to my community and I said, I can't shake this. I don't know what's going on. And they're like, okay, we're going to have to investigate this. And it wasn't going through the story of drama and trauma. Some people think you have to really dig deep and dig out all the, get into all the cracks and clean all that out. That's not what I needed. What I needed was a way to look at the situation from a different story's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And I was struggling to find people who could do that for me. I did not. I thought I had people in my world that everybody wanted to dig into all the minutiae. And I'm like, no, it needs to be big. It needs to be a different framing of that paradigm. Now, a lot of people say they do that, but I learned who doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So I have a whole list of people that don't do that now in my world. So what I chose to do then was to say, okay, what's another way that I can look at this? I'm an author. I write stories all the time. I can make this a different story. Now, how am I going to write this story? And the single best question I could have asked myself in this process was, why is this such a good thing that this has come to me?
Yeah.
That's an oldie but a goodie. We hear it all the time. But when you are in the throes of that kind of darkness, trying to seek any light is better than not having anything. And I learned that from somebody who had been sexually assaulted many, many, many times by their family members. And it was a young man who taught me that at the age of 27. He was 27 years old and he taught me that. Does he know me? He doesn't know who I am. It was a YouTuber. I found him on YouTube and he was sharing his story and he goes, how is what happened to me the best thing that happened to me? And he goes, the only thing I could come up with was that I now have compassion for people in ways I never would have before. And that was enough to pull him out of that darkness that was his nighttime for the soul. In my case, I said, how is this a good thing? And that's when I learned the power of our search engine that we call our brain. And I call it SEO training for the mystic.
Oh, that's
good. Your brain will focus on getting you an answer. It is the ultimate Google. Google wishes our brain. It was as good as our brain.
Yeah, no kidding. 100%.
Our brain can create whatever story we want if we point it in the right direction. And I had to redefine for myself, what is that direction I wanted the SEO to search? And so what it was, so I set my search engine to, why is this a good thing for me? Mm-hmm. And I forced it and I waited. I forced it to go search and I waited in silence. Like literally, mm-hmm. I did not have another thought in my head. When thoughts would try to come in, I go, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the buffer is full. We are waiting. Mm-hmm. Literally, I've had in my clairvoyant eye, the little curly Q buffering symbol mm-hmm. in my head mm-hmm. until my search engine came up with an answer for me. I'm kind of stubborn that way.
Well, and that stubbornness is really useful when you want to get that kind of clarity. What I ask is, what is my opportunity? So that's my version of what is the good that can come out of this? What is my opportunity? And what I'm always looking for is my opportunity to grow.
So one of the things was I did not want to move into action. I would like to specify the way Maria is teaching you is a very valid technique. If you feel stuck, if you feel like you are in mud and you're trying to pull yourself up out of your, you know, out of those muddy pits, hers is very good. I knew I was not in a muddy pit. I knew I had somehow put myself in a subroutine program of an infinite loop. And action was not going to get me out. I had to be inspired. And that comes solely from the heart chakra.
Yeah.
And I could not involve any other chakra. So this is the difference between motivation and inspired action. There are times you're stuck in a muddy pit and Maria is your mystic. You want her to help you see the opportunity in this to expand and grow. No, you need it. Every mystic has their gifts. And so thank you for being on this planet and helping people out of those horrific crossroads that they find themselves in total indecision, high anxiety, and they can't make a choice, and a choice is required.
Right.
So in my case though, I needed inspired action, and that's where you go into the heart chakra, and that's the only chakra in the body that isn't interfered with by any of the others. And I had to sit in that space and wait for my heart to tell me the new story because I wanted it done unconditionally. So all these options are totally viable. It just depends on what is your ultimate goal. I didn't want to expand, Maria. I did not want to expand. Why? Because I was terrified. I was terrified that I would expand into a story that was not going to serve the highest and best good. So I wanted to keep myself in just the heart chakra. So I just wanted to define, Maria is totally knows what she's talking about. It's just, what is the ultimate goal? What is the perspective? What is your target? That will define how you use these different incredibly powerful tools.
That makes sense. Oh my gosh, we have talked through our time so fast. I feel like you and I could talk for hours. So I wanted to give you an opportunity. Is there a last thing you'd like to leave with the audience? Anything else you want to mention before we sign off?
Yes, I want you to stop beating yourself up. You're going to make mistakes. The world is going to say that you make mistakes. Guess what? You needed that mistake to happen. You saved somebody else from making the same one. I tell people all the time when they come to me for coaching or what have you, and I say, just remember, I sell mistakes. I have made so many mistakes. And what I do is I train you so that you don't make mine. You make your own. You make different ones, right? We grow and expand as a human race. We grow and expand as a species based on our failures, not our successes. And so when people talk about, oh my gosh, I failed so many times, I'm like, oh, good for you. You've learned the 999 ways a light bulb does not work. Great job. Keep at it. Because guess what? One of these days you're going to succeed. And then you'll be able to teach the rest of us. And then you're going to be able to say something like I do, which is I shave off 7 years and $58,000 off of your learning curve when I help you. And people go, oh, well, that's pretty specific. I'm like, yep, I kept records. Why? Because I'm an analytical biochemist. I keep tabs.
That is awesome. All right. Well, wonderful. Well, Janine, thank you so much. So in the show notes, we will include links to all kinds of information. And Janine has written many books, and there is so much wonderful stuff that we can link you to.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be here today. It's been a delight and a pleasure.
Thank you so much for being here, Janine. And to our audience, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.